We're going to talk about a law of never fails.
And it makes me start thinking the first thing I would like to ask us tonight is, do you consider yourself a godly person? Do you think yourself as a spiritual person? Maybe we need to even take it a step forward. Do you believe that you are a strong believer in the Lord? A spiritual person, a godly person, a believing person is devoted to love. That's what a real spiritual person does. Don't talk about loving the Lord or loving one another unless you're devoted to love itself. You know, Romans chapter 14 and verse 15, in the text of Romans 14, he talks a lot about opinions. And one of the things he brings up about an opinion is that, for if because of food your brother is hurt, he says you are no longer walking according to love. If you take an opinion and you go with it and you run over other people because you're strongly opinionated about something, you're not walking according to love. God's trying to get you and I to walk according to agape love, a love that makes us devoted to one another, a love that makes us choose that I'm going to do the very best for you, for other people, even for my enemies, no matter what it costs me. That takes a heart committed to the Lord to be able to do that. And that's what he's trying to get us to do. You know, it's amazing that this agape love, do you know it's used 262 times in the New Testament alone? That is astounding. Agape love. A love that sacrifices, that is committed. It's a love that you choose to do for other people. You know, sometimes we don't look at it this way. But when we talk about even assembly, if you love the Lord, if you choose, it's a choice to be there because you're committed to the Lord and to His love. Sometimes it's a matter of encouraging one another. Some people don't see a need. You know, well, I don't want to go. You know, they call it going to church. You ever thought about, do you even love your brethren? See, it's a commitment. It's a choice that you and I make. And we learn it because God made it for us. God made that choice and commitment to us. And He's trying to get us to move in that same direction. Give you an illustration. One of the most quoted verses of the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. God so loved, agape. But it's interesting, He so loved, past tense. You know what God did in His love? God chose to die through His Son. God knew that His Son would be mistreated and would go through all sorts of agony, spiritual agony. God knew that. And God could have spared His Son from that. But you know what He did? Knowing that what His own Son would go through, He knew that it would be the only way that you and I could have a relationship with God and that you and I could come into the presence of God. There had to be the perfect sacrifice, and He chose and committed that through His Son for you and for me. And God says, that's the kind of love, that's how I'm trying to get you to agape one another and other people. In John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus, talking to His apostles that last few nights, He said, if you agape me, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. See, if you agape God, agape Jesus, that's what makes you keep His commandments, because you choose and you're committed to what He wants. In John chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus makes this statement to his apostles: "By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have agape for one another." Sacrificing, choosing, committed love for one another. That's what makes the church different than all the rest of the religion in the world, is that people are agape'd to one another. You and I need to be committed to one another just as God and Christ are committed to us. And we need to choose to be committed, because sometimes in the church, people aren't going to act right. People aren't going to think right. People are going to have bad attitudes. They're going to want to take you down the wrong road. And you can choose whether or not you're going to stay in there with them and you're going to agape them. And it's when you do that, people are going to know those are the people of God. Sometimes in our announcements, we've heard it said in the pulpit here, we are a Bible-teaching congregation. We hold strictly to the Bible. Well, let me tell you something. We do try to hold to the Bible to the best of our ability. We try to hold to it as accurate as we possibly can, in all sincerity. But I'll tell you that it is meaningless to make those claims and statements if there is no love for one another. If we're not committed to one another in love, people will know we're His disciples because we love one another. It absolutely makes me sick when I pick up, we have a book in the offices, and many of you have seen it and probably have had it, where the saints meet. You know, the Churches of Christ Directory, United States. And you open that book up and you look at it, and we've got people splitting over every little hair that you can think of. Nobody wants to agape anymore. Well, we don't like what's going on here, so we're going to jump off over here. We'll start our own congregation. It happens all the time. My brothers and sisters in Christ are not agapeing one another anymore. Back in the 50s and 60s, the Church of our Lord, the Church of Christ, was the fastest growing church in the United States. We had a message to send out to people. You know what we don't have anymore? We're splitting up just like the world, because we're not committed to love. We don't think about loving one another. What makes the church powerful, what makes the truth powerful, is when brothers and sisters will practice love and be devoted to Christ's teachings and one another. And that's what seems to be lacking in a lot of cases. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in verse 8, Paul writes these words: "Love never fails. Love never fails. Agape." You know why we fail so much? Because we don't love. You want to make a relationship in the church stronger? You need to learn to practice love. It will not, it does not fail. It never will fail. You want a husband and wife relationship? You want your home to be stronger? Somebody step out there and practice some love for the other mate. You want a greater relationship with your children? Why don't you step out there and practice love toward them? I'm talking about agape love, not the feely-touchy family kind of unit love where you feel good about everything. I'm talking about a commitment, a driving force in your life, just as Christ drove from the cross to you and I. Love never fails. See, a lot of times we think all this other stuff, all the other things that we do in the name of religion, in the name of God, we think that's what it's about. Well, that's not what it's about. Look again with me at verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 13. He says, "Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away." See, it's not about the spiritual gifts. Oh yeah, we have spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. Romans 12 talks about some of those spiritual gifts. But you know, spiritual gifts are not what it's about. God gave spiritual gifts to employ to helping other people, not to be self-serving. But if you'll notice here, when he talks about love never fails, he's putting light, love in light of the spiritual gifts. I want to show you the two, the first one and the last one. He talks about if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. He says at the end that if there is knowledge, it will be done away. Prophecy was a spiritual gift. They didn't have a New Testament like we had written back there. They had to have prophets teach and talk to them about future events. They could get a direct impartation from God on spiritual gifts. And knowledge. Sometimes they needed direct knowledge from God of what things meant to get a greater understanding of what God expects. And God would come directly to certain ones and give them this spiritual knowledge. But if you'll notice, in both of them, it says they will be done away. It will be done away. I want to teach you something right here. You make a note of it if you want to in your Bible. It's important to understand this. That phrase, will be done away, that is a verb. It's indicative, and it's future passive. Now you say, I have no clue what that means, and I don't care. Well, I'm going to tell you. When you have that kind of verb that's indicative, that's future passive, it means that God at some time and point is going to stop it in its tracks, and it will be done away with. God never intended prophecy, and he never intended knowledge to continue on, that God will cause it to cease. He is going to cut it off. And it's going to be no more. And it's coming somewhere in the near future when he writes this thing. Tongues, he says in verse 8, if there are tongues, they will cease. Well, that's also a verb indicative. But it's future middle voice. Now I'm going to tell you what that means. Tongues are going to just fade away on their own. There's going to be no longer use for them. And so God's going to stop knowledge. God's going to stop prophecy in its tracks because there will be no use for it in the future. And as far as tongues go, tongues are speaking a foreign language that you've never learned on your own. And he said, you know what's going to happen to tongues? It's going to fade away. It'll cease in time on its own. See, God never had intended for these things, the spiritual gifts, to remain. But you know what he has going to remain? He says love in those things, in view of those things, never fails. That's why when you look back at the end of chapter 12 and verse 31, he says, but earnestly desire the greater gifts. But look at his next statement. And I show you a still more excellent way. You know what the more excellent way is? It's love. Why? Because love will never fail. Prophecy, tongues, knowledge, those things are coming to an end. They're going to cease. They're just going to fade away, or God's going to cut them off. Love? Love's not. Love is going to always be the enduring thing. Look down at verse 13 of chapter 13. But now faith, hope, and love abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. Faith. Do we need faith? Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please him. Do we need hope? Christ gave us hope of eternity. Hope is not a hope of something happening casually or by mistake or by chance. Biblical hope is that you desire what God said he's going to do and you expect him to do it. We need hope. We need faith. But one day when we stand before God, we're not going to need faith anymore because we're going to see the realities of everything we have put our faith in. The things that we've built our hope on will also be seen and they'll no longer be needed. But you know what will still exist? Love. Because guess what God is? God is love. And so because God is love, that love will never fail. It's never going to fade. That's why we need to be pursuing love. We need to have the more excellent way. We need to be going and grasping at love with everything that we have, everything in our being. Just as a reminder, we've said through this series, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, he said, "For the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Paul reminded the church at Colossae in Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. He said, "Put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." Put it on. You make a decision, a commitment, a choice. We have a lot of people, a lot of our brethren, that do not come back on Sunday evenings and Wednesday evenings for whatever reason. You ever thought about trying to be committed to reach out to find out why? Wouldn't that what love would do? Where are these people at? Put on love. It's the bond. It's what brings everything together. I said it a while ago. You want a better family relationship? You put on love. It'll bind you together like you never have seen in your life. Love will never fail. Love is endless. It's eternal. And we need to be putting in our hearts and our minds, brethren, we need to be going after the love of God. And we need to be more committed to God than we've ever been committed before. We need to sacrifice for the things of God. Here in the near future, I want to talk to us on a lesson about loving the wrong things. A lot of times, there's one time love, the agape love, is used in the wrong way. 1 John 3, 15, he talks about, "Do not love the world." That's the word agape. Don't you sacrifice. We have brethren sometimes, they give up assembly with the saints, they give up the things of God to go after things of the world. They'd rather be there. See, we're the love. That's a wrong kind of love. We need to be committed to God. We need to be giving ourselves entirely, because love will never fail. It'll never end. It'll be there all the way to the end. I've said all of that to get us back to this. Just as a reminder, to show you that love is a choice, love is a commitment, love is a sacrifice. It's a decision that you make to do on behalf of others. We're going to begin in verse 4. And we're going to look at them all in one unit now to show you and I what we need to be working on. He says in verse 4, love is patient. Love puts up with people that aggravate you. That's what the patience here is. Sometimes people in the church are going to aggravate you, and I'm sure I aggravate some people myself. You know what you need to do? You need not to throw them by the wayside, but you need to put up and bear up with those kind of people. Be patient with them, because God's patient with you. How many times have we failed God? How many times has God had to put up with us and be patient toward us to give us that opportunity? We'll take that love and use it on behalf of others. And the next time you find yourself wanting to whack somebody and push them out of the way and say they're no good for nothing and think that they deserve to be put out, you need to be patient. Love is patient. He says, love is kind. Kind. You do things to help, to expect nothing in return. That's what a kind person does. They give, they help, expecting nothing in return. Let me tell you something about a kind person. This is off on the side. This will be the free part. A kind person, you mark it down, will always be the person, when something needs to be done, they will step in there and do it without being asked, because kindness knows that it's needed to be done. And they expect no praise, they expect no thanks, they just get in there and they do it. A kind person will always look to help when no one else does. Kind people to do what's needed. Love is kind. He says, love is not jealous. Jealousy. Jealousy is what leads people into having this displeasurable feelings that despise others. And it pushes people away from each other. I've watched jealousy eat up husbands and wives. I've watched jealousy eat up the church in different situations where brethren no longer will have anything to do with each other because one is jealous in some shape or form or the other. That's not love. See, love breaks down that barrier, and I'm not going to let jealousy be a part. I am committed to that person, and I'm going to do the very best for them no matter what. He says, love is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. A braggart, an arrogant person. You know, some people are inflated by themselves. Some people, they exaggerate their value, their worth. They exaggerate their abilities. They think that they're this way, way up here. That's not love. Love's not braggart. Love's not arrogant. Love doesn't do that to anybody. Paul told the Romans in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, that we are not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. That the only reason we are anything and we have anything is because of our Lord and Savior. So don't start exaggerating your worth and your value. Love doesn't do that. Love doesn't brag. Love's not arrogant about yourself. You've been around arrogant people? They think that they're better. Oh yeah, well, I'm going to be used for my abilities and I'm this away. That's a person that does not love. He continues on, verse 5. Love does not act unbecomingly. Love does not act in shameful ways. I have seen my brothers and sisters sometimes in public situations act shamefully. And they can't even see their shameful acts. With a bad attitude, with an arrogant attitude, with an attitude of disdain for others, love does not act unbecomingly. It does not act in disrespectful, in rude manners. It doesn't do that. No. Love embraces and make sure that it acts in a right way. He goes on to say, verse 5, love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Love is not self-centered. What's in it for me? James tells us in James chapter 4, verse 1, he asks, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? I will guarantee you every conflict, whether or not we're talking about in the home or we're talking about it in the job, we're talking about in the church, it is always based on self-seeking. Someone doesn't get what they want the way they want it, and they get angry about it. The source is always self. Love is not self-centered. Love does not seek what's best for itself. Love always seeks what's better for other people. By the way, didn't God do that for you and for me? What would have been better for God? What would have been better for God is to obliterate all of mankind and not to mess with this cruel, cold, sinful, ungodly world. What would have been better for God? Not to have to mess with any of us and all of our flub-ups and all of our weaknesses and all of our ungodly moments. That would have been the best that God could have done for Himself. But you see, we're created in the image of God. And love's not self-seeking. And God sought what was best for us so He could bring us to Him. It's not what's in it for me. It's what I can do to help other people. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek His own. Love is not provoked. Provoked. A real easy way to say it, love isn't touchy about certain matters. Sometimes you're around people, you ever been around someone and you just can't talk about certain things because they're going to get their feelings hurt or their feathers ruffled? I mean, sometimes we live maybe with someone and they're so sensitive about something we can't say anything. Well, let me tell you something. If we have our lives so messed up that we cannot sit down and we can't talk about matters that would help, there needs to be some repentance at heart. Love isn't provoked. It's not touchy. It's not sensitive. No, love reaches beyond that. It says love is not provoked. Into verse 5, he said love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Keeps no records of wrongs. Sometimes people have a memory book. And that memory book, something happens, some little irritation comes along, and that memory book gets opened up, and they start laying out every single detail of every little thing that's ever happened to them. I have listened to husbands and wives to go back 10, 12, 14, 15, 20 years ago, and they start laying out, well, they did this, 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 and they've got every little etched detail in their mind about what happened and how they were wronged. Love does not keep record of wrongs because my God doesn't keep a record of my wrongs. See, are we really choosing to love and let go of the things that are deteriorating us? Are we going to hold to things that are killing us spiritually? Love keeps no record of wrongs. And if you're a record of wrong keeping, there needs to be some repentance. Because I'll tell you this tonight. If people will not forgive from their heart, they are not a forgiven person no matter what they say. And we need to know that. He says in verse 6, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness. Love does not smile. Love does not coddle. Love does not embrace people when they're wrong. When people practice wrong, you don't tell them they're okay. Love doesn't do that. Love always rejoices in righteousness. Love always goes to what is right and sides with what is right. I kind of find it funny. Maybe it's not funny. That's the lack of better words. I can always tell you when people are in trouble because they sure don't want to talk to me. When they're in trouble and they don't want to change, I'm going to try to make them face up to the truth and what's right because you care for them. They see it as you're after them. See, when you get caught in unrighteousness, it blinds you to what love and what you're trying to do lovingly for people. And if you love somebody, you will never side with their unrighteousness. You'll always bring them over to the truth and stand right there. Look at verse 7. Love bears all things. Love bears all things. It protects. It covers. That's what it means to bear. Love bears. It protects. You know, sometimes, and it kind of seemed like I may be picking on husbands and wives tonight. I'm not, but there's a lot of good illustrations there. Sometimes husbands and wives get into mingling with other people, and their lips are loose. And they say unkind things. They say things or reveal things about their mate. You shouldn't be doing that. Especially their mate's weaknesses. That's not love. Love covers. Love bears. Love helps them and protects them. You don't want everybody knowing what kind of nut you live with. I sure don't want my wife telling you what kind of nut she lives with. I mean, you don't want to, you want to destroy your mate. You go around and you reveal all about their weaknesses and the things that they're doing to other people, and I guarantee you, you will destroy the relationship. Love doesn't do that. Love bears. He said, love believes all things. You know, when you believe, you trust in the Lord. That no matter what you do and how you reach out to help somebody and how you commit to their cause, that you trust that the Lord will make it work out and it's going to be His way. People are afraid sometimes that if they launch out and they do something, they're going to get taken advantage of. Quit worrying about getting taken advantage of. Love believes all things. It trusts that the Lord is going to bring it around and do good out of it. You just do the good and you let the Lord take care of the rest. He's talking about faith in God. He said, love bears all things, believes all things, love hopes all things. Love hopes all things. In difficulties, love looks for benefits. You need difficulties and I need them. Now, I'm not wishing them on us. But it's the difficulties that help us grow. And it's in those difficulties that you find hope, because you know through that difficulty what God is going to do with it. He's going to help you become stronger. He's going to help you become more dependent upon Him. He's going to help you trust in greater ways that you've never had to trust before. And so love hopes in all things. No matter how bad they may look, there's still hope, because God gives His word and He makes promises. And you know He's going to do exactly what He says. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Endures. There is no set limit to what you go through. So many times people ask, well, how much do I have to put up with? Jesus put up with it all the way to the cross. Love endures. It doesn't question about, you know, how difficult the situation is and how much more can I take. It knows you can take whatever comes because the Lord will do as He says. Because there's hope. Because you believe what He says He'll do. Love never fails. And it's not going to. It's going to be for eternity. And that's why in chapter 14 in verse 1, Paul begins that chapter about worship, pursue love. Pursue love. Make it your life ambition to go after a committed, dedicated sacrifice on behalf of your brothers and sisters. A committed dedication on behalf of the lost world out there that's never heard the truth of the gospel. And you be dedicated to that. And yes, it's going to cost you sometimes. Yes, you're going to get your feelings hurt. Yes, somebody is going to walk over the top of you. But you know what? Love will still never fail, and it'll be there when everything else is gone. Love will still be there. It will endure to the end, and I want to endure to the end. And in the end, I want to be there, and I'm going to get to see, and you're going to get to see love for what it really is. Because that's what God is. You can take every one of these things in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, and you can place God's name every time you see the word love. And you will see this is who God is. That's why we need to practice love. And I implore, I encourage us tonight that we walk out of here that we're more committed to love than we've ever been committed to before. I ask that you pray that you'll become more committed to the Lord from your heart in your prayers. That you'll start watching the next time someone says something that's a little offensive, that's a little abrasive, that rubs you the wrong way, you get a great opportunity to find out, are you going to love or are you not going to love? The next time someone does something and takes advantage of you, you're going to get an opportunity to find out, well, are you going to get mad and have a chip on your shoulder and walk around and spout in your arrogance about how ungodly they are? No, no, are you going to practice love? Get an opportunity all the time. Lord's given us into church. He's given us all opportunities to grow because the Lord said, I'm that committed to you. Because the next time you walk around in your sinfulness and your arrogance or my arrogance and we walk around and we're just a beast before God, and God says, aren't you glad I practiced love towards you to let you come to your senses? Yeah. Aren't you glad I chose to do that? Will we choose that for one another? Only you can answer. Tonight, the message is yours. And if there's anything we can do to help, to encourage you in any way, would you come while we stand and sing?